In nature, a wildfire is one of the most devastating natural forces. It burns hot and fast and leaves little behind but ash and char. Or so it seems. Very soon after the fire passes through the forest, life returns. Shrubs and weeds that clogged the forest floor have burned away, leaving space for new trees, grasses, and flowers to emerge and flourish. Habitats are created, bringing new insects, birds, reptiles, and mammals. A cancer diagnosis can feel like a wildfire, our bodies becoming this new, fire-clarified landscape. For some, cancer changes utterly everything. For others, cancer brings greater clarity and purpose. And some of us are still searching for what life after a cancer diagnosis will look like. Welcome to The Burn. We are exploring stories of life and transformation following a breast cancer diagnosis. I'm April Stearns, the founder and editor of Wildfire Magazine and the host of this podcast. Today, we're going to hear a piece about lymphedema. Hidden inside your body is a very complex system that helps keep your body's health in check. Your lymphatic system consists of lymph nodes, organs, and a network of vessels similar to your circulatory system. But instead of blood, the lymphatic system supports a fluid called lymph. And prior to your cancer diagnosis, you might not have given much thought to it. But if you've ever cut yourself and there's a clear liquid that comes out, that's lymph fluid. It moves through the body's tissues, cleaning up, collecting cell waste, toxins, germs, and even cancer cells. The fluid is drawn into the vessels and directed toward lymph nodes. These nodes act as filters, removing all of the garbage before the fluid is dumped back into the blood system. And I say garbage in quotation marks, of course. There are anywhere from 600 to 900 lymph nodes in your body working at all times. And as with most of your body systems, when it works well, we don't give it a second thought. But when it doesn't work, that's when we start to see big problems pretty quickly. Lymphedema is a swelling caused by a buildup of fluid in our tissues. It happens when the lymphatic system is either faulty or damaged. There are a few things that can happen to cause that damage, but typically the most common is surgical removal or radiation of lymph fluids as part of a cancer treatment. 11 years ago, in the days following my own unilateral mastectomy and the removal of many lymph nodes on my left side, I remember asking my oncologist about lymphedema prevention. His response to me is one I've now heard echoed throughout the cancer community. He said, "We'll address it if and when it happens." I wasn't satisfied with that answer and found that I do have some lymphedema specialists in my area willing to teach me preventative measures. But like cancer, sometimes prevention works and sometimes it doesn't. My guest today has been living with lymphedema side effects from her own cancer treatment. Her name is Desiree Maldonado. Desi works for a university as an assistant director of procurement services. She was diagnosed with cancer at 44. It was stage 3, triple negative. 1 year post-chemo, Desiree's second battle due to breast cancer came with a vengeance, wrapped in compression garments. Stanford University labeled it as, quote, a significant case of secondary lymphedema. Although Desi is grateful for being NED currently, this second battle brings consistent daily maintenance challenges, including multiple vascular surgeries. Desi dives into art for self-healing and remains to be a bright light, living a philanthropic, purposeful life with frequent outreach intent to let other breast cancer patients know they're not alone. Desi's also known to raise funds for non-insurance covered out-of-pocket areola tattooing expenses for other breast cancer patients. She is a mother of two amazing grown adults, considers herself blessed to have met two lives she prayed for, her grandsons, and resides in the Central Valley of California with her high school sweetheart husband. Hey, Desi, welcome to The Burn.
Hi, sweetie. How are you?
I'm good, and I'm so excited that we get to talk about lymphedema today because it's not talked about enough.
No, it is not.
Well, we're going to dig well into it, but first we're going to hear your essay that you just wrote for our 2023 New Normal issue. That essay was titled Lymphedema, and after you read, we will chat about it. Those of you listening, stay tuned to the very end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. All right, Desi, I'll let you take it away.
Thank you, April. Okay. scarred internally, but fearless and strong. She knew exactly what she wanted and did not have any reservations vocalizing her thoughts, views, or advice. She was the life of the party and present for everyone's milestone celebrations. Not perfect, but confident in most choices. Stern and solid like a brick house as a mother, but a piece of putty when it came to loving her children and her husband, in charge of her declared visualized future. Who was that fearless girl? That extroverted girl who smiled and said it was okay when she was told she had cancer. That extroverted girl who organized all breast cancer treatments except for medication prescribing with well-thought-out, self-made choices. The choice is mine, right? I choose a double mastectomy. That extroverted girl who walked into the oncologist's office stating, I don't want to hear what you can not do for me. Tell me everything that you can do for me. From the minute I was triple negative diagnosed, I swore I would never allow cancer to define me. Today I stand before you and feel cancer does define me. Cancer does not own me. Cancer is very much a part of my everyday life. Life after chemo is not at all how I visualized it. I believed surviving after cancer was a grateful bed of thornless roses. I quickly learned life was anything but thornless. Chemo ended. The army of supporters vanished along with my confidence. Invitations to parties ceased, and people no longer came to visit or call. I was no longer certain. I could barely see any type of a future of my own or anyone else's in my life. I no longer cared to visit with others and felt completely content within the four walls of my home. I became introverted. A life I never knew. A new normal that I fought to understand. I was okay, but ever so slightly not okay at all. Praying to be plunged into the cancer-free life as a survivor, the did that just happen thoughts were still circling in my head. As we planned a celebratory trip to Vegas a year post-chemo, I did not realize a part of my new norm was to wear a compression garment on all plane rides as a part of my lymphedema prevention. As we returned, I was unpacking. I noticed my wrist and hands were looking like a water-filled latex glove. This was my first encounter with my survivor's gift, lymphedema. Lymphedema became my active cancer that forced me to stay active in living a cancer-captive life. Although I was cancer-free, I felt as if I was held within the active cancer world. This was my new normal that no one around me understood. I fought to keep lymphedema complaints hidden in a box deep within me. Connected to a web of feelings of survivor's guilt, that box within me was so hard to contain. I was grateful to have survived. I began my lymphedema journey managing multiple weekly physical therapy appointments, getting my arm wrapped like a mummy for 3-day sprints at a time to try to reroute the accumulated fluid in my arm, wearing compression garments, and daily self-lymphatic drainage techniques. These are all standard lymphedema maintenance treatments. Lymphedema became and is the main driver in my survivorship after chemo life. When I was first lymphedema stage 2 diagnosed, I dove deep into educating myself. I found the Lymphatic Education and Research Network, Learn Online. The first couple of lymphedema research findings struck me hard. Only 30% of breast cancer patients suffer from lymphedema. And the hardest one, lymphedema is an incurable and irreversible disease. It's a souvenir you definitely don't want, said celebrity Kathy Bates in a People magazine article. I really felt that life was over for me. I probably wouldn't work again, and I was angry for a long time. At the time, I read Kathy's quote and I thought she must not have had an aggressive chemo treatment because that was the worst part of my experience. I had no clue what my new norm would turn into or the lymphedema case that I had encountered would be labeled as a significant case of upper extremities stage 3 secondary lymphedema from Stanford University lymphedema specialists. My everyday life quickly became an unwanted commitment to my new arm. As a joke, my husband and I called it Frankenstein's cousin's left arm. When my arm did, in fact, look like it belonged to an entirely different human. Not only was shopping for tops, jackets, and dresses affected by my double mastectomy surgery, I now had to include the sleeve circumference of garments as a part of my shopping adventures. Nope, that shirt, that sleeve is too tight, don't even try it on, became a common statement made to myself while shopping for clothes and often led to dressing room frustration tears. My new commitment to my arm included daily maintenance, a very tight, uncomfortable custom compression garment, 2 to 3 times a week physical therapy appointments, nighttime hour-long rituals with my compression pump machine that make you feel as if you are in a body blood pressure cuff became a need, and then came newly discovered lymphedema medical procedures that were only done in certain parts of the country. While browsing the Learn website, I became aware of trials and doctors, a few being less than 2 hours away. It took me an entire year to have my first lymphedema appointment with Stanford University. I became a lymphedema medication trial patient. However, my body did not tolerate the medication well. I was then referred to the Stanford Lymphedema Surgery Center. 8 months later, I sat eagerly waiting for the surgeon to enter my medical appointment room. I had so much time to research the current procedures, find others who had already experienced some of the procedures, and decided what I wanted. I wanted a medical surgical intervention. Lymphedema surgical intervention began. 2019, lymph node transplant, removal of good lymph nodes from my omentum abdomen and placed in my arm to assist with lymph flow along with some lymph liposuction to remove stagnant fluid. 2020, lymph node biobridge, collagen veins to be strung through my skin from my hand to my chest to build additional lymph fluid gateways along with some lymph liposuction again to remove the stagnant fluid. 2022, double lymphrovenous anastomosis bypass surgery with some scar revision and lipo removal. All three of these surgery days were successful, but have not hit our goal to reduce fluid retention for a longer period, reducing hours spent in compression garments and reduce the need for weekly physical therapy appointments. I am currently awaiting my second lymph node transfer and 6th breast reconstruction surgery scheduling. To numb the realities of my new after chemo life, I dove into artistic projects. Any craft hobby I thought I can do, I did. From painting pot people to beadwork to pouring resin projects to pyrography hat art burning and branding. I did it all. When someone bought a piece of my art, I tried to always take the moment as a teaching opportunity. I'd explain a breast cancer story and the fact that healing was a piece of that art. Within the darkest days of my life and newfound cancer community membership, I have made the most beautiful friends and the prettiest art pieces. My healing heart and mind crave teaching and impacting lives with knowledge of the different types of breast cancer and breast cancer-induced side effects such as lymphedema, anxiety, and PTSD. I accepted my role in being a part of the Fill It on the First campaign in posting a monthly reminder to the community on the importance of a self-breast exam. I did outreach to people and opened my personal story to individuals that were just starting their breast cancer journey. I wanted people to see and know the face of a person who has survived and to assure them they were not alone. I am now currently on the journey to letting go, to walking away from the invisible weight of pressure to be the advocate for awareness and the voice of hope. Cancer has intertwined into every fiber of my being, including my mental and emotional state, which I'm certain has caused other physical ailments to trigger. I am working on unwinding myself from its bobbin and becoming a woman truly on the mend. Life after cancer is still no walk in the park, but it is indeed a walk, and for that, I am and always will be grateful to see another day.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, Desi, thank you so much for getting so vulnerable with us today. Thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Thank you for allowing me and giving me the platform to share this. I think it's very important.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And I'm excited to discuss it more. First, let's take a quick break here for a testimonial. And when we come back, we'll dig into it. Hi, friends. There is now a wildfire book in the world. It is a big, beautiful compilation of my favorite essays from Wildfire Magazine, spanning all the way back to our first ever issue in 2016 up to the summer of 2022. This book took years to create and is literally the resource I wish I had had when I was diagnosed with breast cancer. This book is called Igniting the Fire Within, and it's made up of 50 essays that really dig into the experience of having breast cancer in our 20s, 30s, and 40s. Every stage of breast cancer is represented, from DCIS to stage 4, from all sorts of walks of life, from all around the world. Our writers go deep and get vulnerable to heal their own experiences and to let others like you know that you're not alone. You will find yourself within these pages. Get Igniting the Fire Within, stories of healing, hope, and humor inside today's young breast cancer community on Amazon in paperback and for Kindle now. Curl up with it today.
I attended my first wildfire workshop probably about 6 months after my initial diagnosis. And truly, wildfire has become such an integral part of my healing journey. It's hard to even find the words to express how much this has really, really helped me find my feet again after some truly terrible turmoil, and also flex some creative muscles that I had on the back burner for far too long. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the welcome and encouragement, Wildfire. You're just the best.
All right. Thank you so much for the love, Jen. Really appreciate your testimonial. And now I get to turn back to you, Desi. Thanks again for bringing to light a topic that I don't think we talk about enough in the cancer space, even though it is affecting a lot of people, maybe silently and behind the scenes. You know, kind of as you said in your piece, maybe not wanting to make trouble or bring up something else. So thank you so much for bringing to light your story so that we can discuss it.
Absolutely.
So let's start with when and where your lymphedema first flared up and what you believe caused it.
It was a year post chemo. I went on a trip, a small airplane flight to Vegas to celebrate my 1 year anniversary. And I had no idea that I was supposed to wear a compression garment 2 hours prior to the airplane flight and 2 hours during the airplane flight and then 2 hours after the airplane flight. Matter of fact, I don't even think I had a compression garment at that time. So we went, we had a good time, and when I came home, I noticed the first flare-up.
Mm-hmm. Was it in your hand that you first noticed it, or where did it first come to your attention?
I first noticed in the top of my hand. It just looked like it was a latex glove filled with some sort of fluid on the top of my hand. I actually thought, I was so oblivious. I actually thought that I walked some crazy amount of steps and I was swinging my arms back and forth, and that's my hand swelled up from walking too much because I wasn't used to moving or 20,000 steps a day versus 4,000.
Sure.
So,
yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. And if you hadn't really heard of lymphedema before, then it makes sense that you wouldn't really think it could be happening to you. Was that the case for you, that you hadn't even heard of it before? And did you know anyone else who had had it?
I did not know anyone else who had had it. I was given a pamphlet with, when I was diagnosed with cancer, I was given several pamphlets. The lymphedema pamphlet was in there. It was in the stack. But I didn't care about that. Lymphedema. All I cared at that moment was getting rid of the cancer out of my system than I was to learn about any side effects.
Yeah. Well, I think that now that I've talked to so many people who've experienced cancer, I've realized that there's a big disconnect between the emergency of dealing with the cancer head on, especially when we are, well, actually probably at all stages of it. I feel like there's this focus on getting it under control, which I think is understandable, but we make decisions not realizing that we will hopefully be living with the consequences of those decisions for a very long time.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So sometimes, right? So sometimes we aren't being educated as well as we could be about some of those side effects, because it's not the cancer itself, mm-hmm. you know, and that feels like the most important thing in that moment. And I'm not trying to say that it's not. I just think there needs to be more discussion around what you potentially could be living with for a long time. And just handing someone a pamphlet, I can't tell you how many pamphlets I disregarded because I didn't see myself reflected back at them, or I just assumed, yeah, I'm not going to have that. I'm just going to decide not to have that. So, you know.
Right. And that's exactly what I did, was I said, that's not going to be me. So I moved past it. I wish somebody would have sat me down, one of those doctors, and said, okay, chemo's going to do this to you. Your afterlife chemo is not going to be great. This is what might happen. Nobody did that. I wish they would have said, hey, this lymph node biopsy that you're about to have, if they take too many lymph nodes, your whole lymphatic system is going to be impacted, or there's a possibility that it's going to be impacted. There's 30% possibility. That was not said to me, so I didn't, it didn't
yeah.
compute.
Exactly. I had the very mm-hmm. same experience when they handed me the pamphlet about how my intimacy might be affected. And I was like, oh, well, that's not going to be a problem for us. Like, yeah.
Right.
So I want to go back to this part of your story that I personally find kind of heartbreaking. You said, I fought to keep lymphedema complaints hidden in a box deep within me, connected to a web of feelings of survivor's guilt. That box within me was so hard to contain. I was grateful to have survived. And I've heard people say that before, particularly about the survivor's mm-hmm. guilt and not knowing, I guess, what you can ask for in life after having cancer taken mm-hmm. out of your body. I remember feeling that way myself, you know, having concerns, but feeling like I didn't want to be a bother to my oncologist. I didn't want to seem ungrateful. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
At the time, I lost my sister-in-law to colon cancer. So I knew what the alternative could have been for my situation. So I tried, even today, I try very hard not to complain about the opportunity that was given to me for living, basically. I catch myself, Desi, you're alive. Don't complain about putting this compression garment on the minute you hit the floor till the minute you go to bed. Don't complain about having to go to physical therapy appointments that are 45 minutes away from you, three times a week. You know, I still struggle with that. And it's been 8 years since my lymphedema flared, that this has been an ongoing daily, weekly thing. I think I'm always going to fight with that. Matter of fact, there's only a few people in my life now that I'll say, I'm trying not to complain, and they know exactly what I mean. And those are my best friend and my daughter, actually. And they'll talk me off the edge, what's going on, you know. But it's not easy surviving. We are so grateful to survive, but it comes with a price and consequences of survival. And I hate to say that, because there are some people that are just gung-ho. They're great. They don't get affected. And I love that. I celebrate that for people. I just happen to be one of those people that have had every side effect known to man, it seems like, of every souvenir for surviving. And I struggle still daily.
Yeah. 8 years is a long time to be struggling daily, and it takes a toll. And I guess what I want to say is I'm so grateful that you wrote this and that you're here talking to me about this, because I know there are other people who are also carrying the weight of side effects silently, or only the very, very close people in their lives really know. And when they compare themselves to that classic cancer survivor, you know, who's just getting on with life, that image that the media likes to portray that we know isn't really true. But there's so many people who see that, compare their own situation, and feel so alone in it. And so, Desi, I'm just so glad that you're speaking up so that those people know they're not alone, but also so you can let us carry a little bit of this for you. Let us see you there.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that you have given us the platform to be able to share, because I don't think it's spoke about enough, and even doctors don't understand it or know the right treatments. You have to really advocate and find those specialty doctors that studied the lymphatic system, because not all doctors know. And you can so easily be given the incorrect treatment for lymphedema, which is sad to say, but it's the truth.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't realize that. What were some of the treatments that you either had in the past or that you're doing now that you feel have made a difference for you that someone maybe isn't aware of yet?
The things that I'm doing now, I've had the three surgeries that I talk about that have helped tremendously take my arm down. My arm looked like a crazy, you know how you go to Disneyland and you see that large turkey leg.
Oh, yes.
And it just looks magnified compared to a regular chicken leg. Well, that's how my arm looked. It was so big, so huge. It has gone down. I'm going to guess and say at least 60%. So those surgical interventions that were not available 10 years ago, I had the opportunity to do almost all of them, and they have helped a lot. And I'm going to do that second lymph node transplant next month, actually. And I'm excited to see how much further it's going to go. But you have to be, if you have lymphedema, you have to be committed to your arm. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And you have to be committed to the daily maintenance. If you are not fully committed, you can easily go backwards, or you're going to suffer. So be sure, if you have lymphedema, to find the certified lymphedema specialist. Find the doctor that is ecstatic to learn about your lymphatic system. Don't let it go, and don't take no for an answer. I did in the beginning. I thought my doctors knew it all, but some of them did not.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I really like what you just said about finding a doctor who's ecstatic to learn about your situation and your lymphatic system. Mm-hmm. I think that really does mm-hmm. make a difference. And I also just want to underscore what a pain to have ongoing to-do lists related to cancer. Like, it, for me, that's one of the things that I've had my own internal tantrums around, you know, like, why is there more, you know, that I have to do?
Yeah.
So yeah, I guess I'm just acknowledging that it's crummy. It's not fair.
It's a lot. It's yeah. a lot. It is a lot. It is crummy. But if you can sit and change the negative to a positive,
yes.
My positive would be, experiencing what I've experienced to be able to help others, because seriously, I believe that's why I'm still here, is to share my story and help others. And another thing is just meeting community people like you.
Mm. Yeah, I really resonate with that, what you just said, though, too, about, you know, that really, really good feeling that comes from having endured something and then get to turn around and hopefully make someone's experience better because of us having endured it, makes it feel so much lighter to carry. It just gives so much purpose.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I have one last question for you as our time is drawing to a close, but part of this advocacy and kind of the other side of that box hidden deep inside of you where this lymphedema experience has been living is the writing of this essay. And I know when you had originally submitted to our new normal issue that we published this in, mm-hmm. you were thinking of not necessarily focusing so much on lymphedema. Can you tell a little bit about kind of that decision, I guess, to go deeper, or why maybe you weren't planning to, and how it feels now that mm-hmm. you do have your story out in the world?
Mm-hmm. I originally, every time I pick up your magazine, I feel like it should be a sense of hope, a sense of there's others like me, positive. And I felt like when I first wrote that first essay that I submitted, I felt like I needed to keep it positive and light, instead of scare people away. And then when you guys approached me and asked me, hey, you didn't talk about your lymphedema, I thought about it, and you guys were absolutely right. It is not spoke about enough. People should know. And at that point, I was like, okay, how can I spin this not so scary, but the truth, because I'm so raw and such an open book, and I like to tell the truth. And so there it went. I think I wrote it in about an hour, and it was easy for me to write. The funny thing is my boss, she's been wonderful through this whole situation. I take a lot of time off of work. And when she read it, she was like, Desiree, that's an awesome piece. That's not the same person mm-hmm. that writes your emails. And I said, well, I'm so passionate about this. I'm not passionate about writing emails, you know. She kind of laughed, and she said it was just a beautiful piece. So I am super glad you guys asked me to resubmit. And I hope that my story inspires somebody or gives somebody else hope and lets them know that they're not alone, for one, and for two, possibly links me to them to be able to help them through their lymphedema story.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to underscore what you said about, you know, hope and how hard it can be to feel like you can tell the truth about an experience and not scare people away. And I think that that is something that those of us, you know, who are passionate about writing real stories, especially stories that don't fit the classic narrative, you know, that we do struggle with. And I feel part of the way that we can hold hope and reality kind of simultaneously is to share the lessons learned along the way. And I think that your story shows so much learning that you've had to do, and that's where the hope lives, I think, in seeing how someone else is putting one foot in front of the other, no matter what their experience is, you know, in showing how they are doing that and how they are learning. So I think your story is full of hope. I just want to make sure you know that.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think it's full of hope too.
Good. Well, I'm so glad.
As full of as much hope as it could be, you know.
Yes.
I'm not giving up. I've been challenged each surgery, because they're choices. They're choices that I have to make. Is this right for me, or should I stop here? And there's always one person that reaches out online and says, hey, your story inspired me to do this or to do that. Or it just, to me, those are signs. Keep going, Desiree. Don't stop. So I'm not at my goal, and I'm going to continue until I'm either reach that goal or I'm all tapped out. And I haven't hit that yet.
Mm. Yeah, keep going. Well, and I love what you just said about people reaching out to you to say that your story is making a difference in their lives. And so I want to ask you where people who want to connect with you can find you.
Mostly I speak to a lot of people on Instagram. I do have a Facebook cancer page, but I get more traction on Instagram. So I would say if anyone out there wants to get a hold of me, they could find me at Best of Desi on Instagram. Just slide into my DM. I may not answer right away, but I will absolutely answer.
Perfect. Well, we'll be sure to link to you. And to those of you listening, if you've gotten value out of this conversation and you want to share it with friends and family, I hope that you will. And if you share it on social, please be sure to tag us at wildfire_BC_magazine. And you can tag Desi as well. Best of Desi. That would be great. So Desi, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for the invitation. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. So those of you listening, if you haven't yet read Desi's story, you can find it in the New Normal issue. This was our 2023 New Normal. Her essay is titled Lymphedema, and it is accompanied by a beautiful illustration that Desi did herself. And with that, I'm April Stearns, and you've been listening to The Burn. The Burn's a production of Wildfire Magazine, where we share breast cancer stories from young people like you've never read or heard before. We also strive to inspire you to write your story like you've never written it before. Stay to the end for a writing prompt inspired by today's episode. Our producer is Bill Smith of Shoe Production, and our production assistant is Monica Haro. If you want more on the life-changing transformation to be had from telling your breast cancer stories, please visit us at wildfirecommunity.org, where you'll find a copy of the issue mentioned in today's episode, You'll find our rich 40-plus archives, and you can take a writing workshop with me. There's no place on the planet like a wildfire writing workshop, and I want you to experience it for yourself. Discover how to write your way back to yourself, write your way to reclaiming your body and your story. And don't forget to subscribe to The Burn and listen to it wherever you go. All right, here is your writing prompt. In Desi's story, she talks about unusual addendums to a cancer story. So I want you to write about an unusual addendum to your cancer story. I want you to bring it to the light of day, whether it's lymphedema or another side effect that you didn't expect to be living with. What do you wish to understand about this side effect personally? And what do you wish the world understood about it? A good place to start with this prompt might be, "What I've never shared before is." And then after you write it, consider sharing your story on social media as a form of advocacy. And if you do, be sure to tag me at wildfire_BC_magazine. And if you find that you write best with a good prompt, I've got tons more for you over at wildfirecommunity.org/free. Head on over and get yours now. Happy writing. Thanks for listening. Until next time, take good care.